All right, guys, it's Real Estate Investor MBA. I'm with my partner, Jeremy Moyer. We're very excited to have Gene Trowbridge back on our podcast. He was previously on episode, was it 31?
31, yep.
31. And awesome, great resource and super excited for today. Jeremy, you want to tell the listeners what we're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So Gene, we asked him to come back to do some presentation. So if you're following us on YouTube, that's awesome. You get to see the presentation. If you're not following us on YouTube, you definitely should be. you could go check us out if you're listening to this on podcast, because Gene is going to be doing a sharing his screen to go over a presentation, some great information he's going to share today. And I think we can start with there. I know Gene's going to do a little bit of intro about himself and what he's done in the past, as part of his presentation. So I think we'll just hand it off to him.
Yeah. Gene, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me. And everyone should go and subscribe to your YouTube channel. There's no question about that, because I'm sure there's all sorts of good information. If I was number 31, that means there's 30 great presentations right before me that people are going to have to see. So anyhow, I'm Gene Trowbridge with the Trowbridge Law Group. And what am I? I'm a syndication attorney. I'm an attorney that offers private placement memorandums and all the work to help you raise money and raise money legally, right? We don't want anyone out there to be wearing orange jumpsuits as a result of their syndication business. So it's Trowbridge Law Group, and I'm Gene Trowbridge. And here's a brief introduction about me. What's really important on this introduction is the fact that I was a former syndicator for many years. I was in the syndication business and sent out 1 year 1,676 K-1s, which is a daunting task. And the care and maintenance of partners kind of got to me. So at 45, I decided I'd gradually move away from that business. I went to law school, and I did that, guys, for the last 15 years of my career. I figured, well, I'll go to law school, and then at 60, I'll retire. Well, so that was 27 years ago. So I'm still doing this. I haven't found the interest to retire, which is great. I'm very happy with where I am. I've got a book, A Whole New Business, that you guys can find on Amazon. The fourth edition is out as we speak. And I'm an old runner, done a lot of half marathons in the last 15 years. And I used to have on my picture, a picture in my running outfit, but I didn't think that was quite as professional as this one. So I'm more favorable to that picture than this one. So this is me. Thanks a lot. So that's it. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk to you about something that you should do if you're going to be a syndicator or put together a group of investors. What I have on this slide is really my recipe for doing deals. Starting at number one, find a partner to do this with. Never, ever try to be a syndicator on your own. Really, if Jeremy, if you've got an offering out there and I say to you, hey, I'd love to invest in your offering, but Jeremy, if I give you my $50,000, what happens if something happens to you? Well, if you don't have an answer for that, you're not going to get my money or anyone else's money. But so that's number one thing to take care of, protecting the investors. The number two thing is to develop a database. A database of investors, I suggest maybe 50 investors, where you have a 50% chance of each of those investors investing $50,000 and giving you a referral. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. How do you go about and do this database? When I was a syndicator early on, I thought the only thing I needed to do was to get my PPM and then go out and hit people over the head with my PPM to get them to invest with me. I soon found that that wasn't the first thing I should do. I should have a process to go through getting people into my database so that when I had a PPM, it was just to explain the opportunity I found, not to sell them on anything. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about. This process is something that a long time ago, someone gave me some ideas about, and I developed it and I used it. And I spent a lot of time with my mentor clients talking about this. And it is called sell the sizzle. And I don't have another word for sell, because I really, by the time we're all through, we're not going to sell anything. We're going to take people into the opportunity that we've defined for them and are showing them. But for right now, it's called sell the sizzle. What sizzle? The sizzle of real estate, the sizzle of your part of the real estate world, the sizzle of you managing their money, and last of all, the sizzle of your deal. And so I was doing that exactly wrong. I was hammering everyone in the sizzle of the deal before I knew that they were interested in all the other parts. So we're going to go through this, and I hope that you'll find this valuable, and I think you will. So the first thing we need to do, we're building a database, right? Do we need a database full of people who are only interested in investing in cryptocurrency? No, we need a database full of people who want to invest in real estate. That's the very first thing we want to do. So we need to sell the sizzle of real estate. And so you have to develop a dialogue, a discussion with people where you can focus on the opportunity that's provided simply by investing in real estate. You're never going to convince everyone to invest all the money in real estate, but at least as a diversification and a protection toward the ups and downs of the market or whatever else they're investing in, everyone should have some money invested in real estate. So you need to sell the sizzle of real estate. Focus on them becoming diversified with real estate in their portfolio. And then you can talk about how real estate, and I've always used this acronym, is the ideal investment, because it produces income. You get to take depreciation from real estate, which at the minimum shelters the income that the property produces. It may also shelter some other income, I'm not sure, depending upon the investor. While you're owning a property, you get equity buildup because the tenants are paying you enough to make your mortgage payments. Hopefully the properties are going to appreciate, and you can buy a piece of real estate with long-term leverage, not margin calls. So if you go through IDEAL, you can share with your people that real estate is the ideal investment to be part of their portfolio. One of the important parts about this is, if they're not interested in real estate, why would you put them in your database? Why would you clutter your database with people who say, I'm not investing, I'm in the stock market, I'm in gold or whatever? Fine. If you can't convince them that at least the diversification is a good idea, why would you waste your time having them in your database? Remember, the goal of your database is to have people who you think, when you go to them with a specific deal, you've got a 50-50 chance of getting them to invest in that deal at that time. You'll never have 100% because people's lives change. Kids get married, people go on vacation, other things pop up. There are all sorts of reasons when you go to someone, they won't be able to invest in this deal. But we need, you know, a 50% chance is what we're shooting for. So the first thing we have to do, and I hope you guys agree with me, is sell the sizzle of investing in real estate. The second thing we need to do, and this really gets into it, is the sizzle of your part of the real estate world. No, you can't convince an investor, you can't even convince yourself that you're an expert in everything in the real estate world. You just can't do that. Today, many, many people concentrate on multifamily. Many people concentrate on mobile home parks, self-storage, single tenant net lease. I don't know what you're going to concentrate on, but I guess what I think is there must be something in the real estate industry that you're an expert at, that you're going to concentrate, because the world today rewards specialization, not generalization. You know, you're not going to do an apartment building on your first deal, a mobile home park on your second deal, and a hotel on your third deal. That's not going to work. You're going to have to come up with something that you're an expert in. My experience was I was an expert in concrete tilt-up construction. It's kind of a special area. And what's built with concrete tilt-up construction? Self-storage. So I became an expert in self-storage, and I was able to tell the people that I was an expert in that part of the real estate world. Not in long-term management of self-storage, but in construction. Well, that's a big deal, because if I'm in the long-term management, then what I'm offering investors is a check every quarter so they can buy groceries. But if I'm in the construction end of it, I need to find investors who don't need quarterly checks. What they're investing in is equity building. And so that's what I did. I said, I am going to show everyone that I'm an expert in concrete tilt-up, and I picked the mini storage part of the marketplace, and we're going to build. So I'm looking for investors who can stick with me for 2 to 3 years while there's no cash flow. And when I was doing that, we were talking about, you know, doubling the investors' money during the investment period through the construction process. And our business plan was to get the projects 50% occupied, get a lease up of about 50%, and then sell the project to long-term operators who didn't want to develop. They just wanted to build. They just wanted to buy and produce income. So that was the opportunity that I found. And you're going to have to pick, what is your opportunity? Is your opportunity multifamily with repositioning property? Is your opportunity buying Class A buildings where you don't have to do anything? You're just going to provide cash flow. Are you going to do mobile home parks? I don't know what you're going to do. That's up to you. What is it that you're an expert in? And then figure out what the opportunities are. In my world, the opportunity was there was an imbalance of supply and demand in the storage industry. There was not enough supply for the demand that was out there. And so there was the imbalance, and there was the opportunity. And the opportunity was to build more units, not to buy existing units and just count on rent increases to make money. And also the opportunity for me, and I'm only using myself as an example, so you see what I mean. The opportunity was to go to the high net worth investors who already have their cash flow taken care of, but they do want to continue to build their net worth, and development is a way to do that. So here are the opportunities. I see an imbalance of supply and demand. And what are the solutions I proposed? Well, the solutions I proposed were to go into the three-county Southern California area from, you know, the Mexican border all the way up to San Francisco, from the ocean to Arizona and Nevada, and build self-storage facilities. So that's the solution I propose. So first of all, we're trying to find people who are at least interested in real estate. Now I'm trying to find people that are interested in the sizzle of what I am an expert in. So does that mean I wouldn't take someone in my database who only wanted to invest in apartment buildings? Probably. If I want a good, concise database, I'm looking for people who want to invest in development and want to invest in storage. So when I go to them, I'm comfortable that I've got a 50-50 chance of presenting to them an opportunity that they're expecting from me, that they would like and they would invest with me. So the next sizzle we're going to sell is the sizzle of you managing their money. And how I would do this, and this is what I did, when I got to the point that I wanted to, I got them, they're interested in real estate, they're interested in my part of the market. Now here's push come to shove. Why would they give their money to me? So I need to, or needed to, and you would need to, introduce your individual credentials. What do you have in your background that would make someone want to invest with you? This is kind of a challenge if it's your first deal, because the question that the investors are going to ask once again is, if I give you my money, what happens if something happens to you? The next question is, have you done this before? And you know, guys, we've all had to answer that question. No, I haven't. But here's my background. So you're going to have to come up with some credentials to sell for your first deal. But once you do your first deal, you can say, hell yes, I've done this before once. Okay, fine. You just got to do it. You just got to do it once. So introduce your individual credentials and then introduce your team. Now, you may know that on my YouTube channel, I've done 36 interviews with people who are in the securities business in the world. They're either my clients or they're someone I know in the industry. And the theme of my interviews was rookies, talking to people who are just thinking about getting in the business. And I asked every one of my interviewees, what advice would you give to a rookie? That was the last question. And 35 of the 36 said, you have to form a team. You're not going to do this yourself. This is a team sport. And I thought that was interesting. I was wondering about the 36th person. Well, the 36th person says, you've got to have a brand. Well, I can take that back to having a team. What's your brand? Your brand is, I've got a group of people and this is what we're doing. And when I got into the conversation about branding, it did revolve around the team. So you've got to introduce your team. You've got to have a team. I don't care if it's one other person. You've got to have a team. Depending upon what you do, now I'm building concrete, I'm building storage. There are a number of people in my team. I need someone who knew how to pour concrete. I needed someone who would help with the initial lease up. I need someone to help me raise money. So I had a team, I had five or six people, a property manager. I had a team. So anyone thought about investing with me, they would see that I was prepared to seize the opportunity. You know, show the people that you have a core group that believes in the opportunities that you believe in and can provide the solutions that you see. So here's what we're trying to do. I've got a team that is going to carry through the site selection, the bidding process, the construction process, the initial rent-up facility process, and the capability of finding the long-term owners for the property and getting them sold. So I had to convince everyone I had that team. And then if you can, show prior results of you or your team's activity. That's important because the second question was, have you done it before? Well, here's, you sold them the sizzle on real estate. You sold them the sizzle on your expert part of real estate. What are you doing? And now you're selling them the sizzle on what has your team done or what have you done and what about the team that you've assembled? Are we going to be able to go forward and seize on the opportunity? And then the last deal is to sell the sizzle of your deal. Now, you don't have to go very much in depth about, you know, what your deal is composed of, because they already know it's real estate, they already know it's your specialty, and they already know it's your team. So now you can present your offering. And I always just listed three or four key benefits of the offering. What was important in this offering that were the hot spots, you know? How does providing the solutions I identified in the previous steps make the investor money? How does, in my world, building a storage facility in this community, getting it half rented up and selling it to someone, how does that make the investor money? I guess I have to show that. Show how your team can manage the deal. You always have to go back to the team. You're not going to get anywhere if it's just you. You always are selling your team. And then ask the questions from the investor. Hopefully, hopefully they have a chance to have had a chance to read the documents, read the PPM, the operating agreement. Ask them if they have any questions and ask for the order. One of the things I'm concerned about, and I talk to a lot of syndicators and I talk to a lot of passive investors also, it's not the syndicator's responsibility to educate the investor on the industry. If the investor wants to invest in multifamily, there's a million places the investor can learn about multifamily. Now, if you're a syndicator of multifamily, you need to come up and just say, okay, so we're going to invest in real estate. I'm a specialist in multifamily. Here's how I've cut out a niche for us. Opportunities I see in this niche. Here's the team that I have put together. I'm a little worried every once in a while that passive investors don't educate themselves on the asset class in which they're deciding to invest. And I don't think the syndicator needs to give a course on, you know, rules of thumb, NOI and cap rate and all that. I don't think the syndicator needs to do that. The syndicator just simply needs to present the opportunity that they have identified, lay it in front of the investors, and get the investors to invest with you. So how can your team manage this deal to seize on the opportunities? Stir up if they have any questions and ask for the deal. Following these steps really helped me sell, and I raised a lot of money. I raised a lot of money for my deals. I had 16 different deals. Most of them had two properties. And when I started, I was starting with number four, sell the sizzle of the deal. And before I got very far into the deal, I found myself having to figure out if the people really wanted real estate. Then I found myself having to discuss with them why it was self-storage, because they may have thought they were going to buy Walgreens or something. And then I had to tell them about the team. So if I started at the bottom, I always found myself having to go back to the top. And I wasted a lot of time with people who didn't want real estate, didn't want self-storage, and didn't, by that time, they didn't want to know anything about my team because they weren't interested in the asset. So when I switched and I went from the top down, real estate, the opportunities in my specialty, my team. Now, here we have an opportunity. We've vetted it. We've got the paperwork. I'm coming to you. I hope you still have money in your checkbook. Here's a pen. Write the check. Here's the wiring instructions. Send me the money. And do you have any other questions? So I think that's a really appropriate way and a helpful way to sell. I've tried this one-on-one with investors, and I've tried this in meeting rooms where there are a committee, like a family office, where there's a committee of people. And we always have to kind of regroup and say, you know, I know you're interested in real estate. We talked about why self-storage is the right project for you. I've introduced my team to you. We're here and we're going to present an offer. Now, let's talk about the deal. What questions do you have if you've had a chance to read the documents, and just shut up? Okay. That's my approach. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today in selling the sizzle. And once again, I'm Gene Trowbridge. There's a phone number for me. There's our website, Trowbridge Law Group, and we have a YouTube channel called Trowbridge Law. Subscribe. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity to present to your audience.
Gene, we love you. You're the best. Super excited for the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you.